Hey everybody, you are listening to the Church Theology Podcast, a podcast on the church for the church. My name is Kirk Miller, joined here with Dan Allen.
Hey!
And we are continuing our little bonus sequence of episodes here, following up from Dan's sermon on the hindrances of prayer. He covered six in his sermon. I don't know how many we covered in the last episode, but covered a handle.
Something like that, yeah.
A handle of them. A number of them. Handful? I think I was trying to say handful and said handle. Anyways, we covered a multitude.
Yeah, there you go.
Of, is it like a biblical word? A multitude of hindrances to prayer. And we're going to continue here talking about some more. And so, Dan, let's just go ahead and jump right into it. What's the next hindrance of prayer that you thought of?
Yeah, so this is close to what we were, kind of flows out of the one we were dealing with last time. But assuming, like, we can sometimes assume that real prayer or a real authentic prayer only happens when it's done in a certain way. So that could be a number of things. It could be it needs to be done with certain type of language, right? So I need to learn how to speak before I can truly pray.
Like we were talking about last time, kind of the vocabulary, the phrase, like certain really spiritual sounding phrases or something.
Yep. Or it could be, well, I only have 3 minutes here. I don't have time to truly pray. Because I need like 10 minutes for that. Like that's when real prayer happens or something like that. Or we hear stories of said Christian in, of history that spent a half hour every day or 2 hours every day.
Or even like
that's real prayer.
Even some of the examples from the sermon were like about Martin Luther. I got to spend 3 hours in prayer.
Yes.
And all of a sudden we get the impression where it's like, oh, well, that quick prayer I throw off, you know, as I'm heading out the door, that must not count.
Yes. So
that's not good prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it could be kind of a posture of physical posture. Like, oh, well, I'm driving in the car. I can't kneel down and close my eyes and pray. So, like, I'm, you know, like I'm not really praying now.
I'm
not
brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
I can't pray while I'm brushing my teeth. Yeah.
And if we're not careful, it's almost like real prayer is when I have a certain physical posture. And this is like prayer level B, like when I'm brushing my teeth or whatever. Like, that's. I can't really feel like my prayer life is growing if I'm doing that, but I'm not super great at this. And even just using that language, like super great, like what do you mean? Like, what is super great at praying a particular way? I just think all of this kind of gets these subtle kind of beliefs in our mind and heart about like prayer. Real prayer has to look a certain way, and I can't do that, or I can't do that well, or I don't have time for that. And so like, I might as well just.
It's almost like speaking of like how good someone is at faith. Like in many ways, like obviously there is strong faith and then there's superficial faith. So it's not to say that there isn't actual like good quality that can be had to faith, but faith is something that points to someone else. It's to say I'm trusting in God. And so really the point of faith is to point to God and his attributes. In a lot of ways, prayer is similar where it's like, even to speak of being good at prayer, well, there's some sense in which it's like prayer is something where you can struggle in it, and the point isn't about you ultimately.
Yeah,
it's about are you someone who's bringing those things before God, even in your struggle, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like it's not like some sort of work ultimately we perform, but it's a recognition that we need Him. It's some. In other words, the entire act is admitting that we don't have it all together.
Right. Yeah.
That's why we're praying to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing too is it's not to, I wouldn't want to like, I think there's obviously some good in some of these impulses, like the idea of someone who prays like long, there could be good reasons why someone devotes a lot of time to prayer or even the posture, like there's like the Jewish tradition was, we oftentimes like fold our hands, close our eyes and look down. I imagine that probably developed out of like trying not to be distracted. But in like the Jewish tradition, they would oftentimes put their hands out, like almost like this act of receiving. And they would look upwards to like direct their mind towards kind of symbolically the heavens where God is. And so like posture isn't irrelevant. Like people pray on their knees. There's something wrong with that.
That can be really helpful.
Because like we're embodied people. So like how we act with our bodies oftentimes helps with how we you know, feel and think. We're not we're not just brains on a stick, but we're connected to our bodies. And so it's not to say those things are irrelevant, or like if the only time you ever pray is when you're brushing your teeth, it could be, just as that example, it could be that you're not, maybe you're not devoting, like prayer is just kind of this thing that's just on the margins and you're not really Like the fact that someone dedicates time in their schedule to pray could show that it's a priority to them. Mm-hmm. But so it's like trying to balance those things. Obviously, we wouldn't say it's wrong to pray while you're brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
But it could be indicative that you're not prioritizing it, and you're just kind of, you know, it just kind of gets the scraps or mm-hmm. the leftovers. At the same time, you could yeah. overreact
yeah.
where like almost like legalistically prayer has to be done in these ways.
Yeah.
And therefore all these prayers that don't meet those criteria are illegitimate or yes, something like yeah. that. Like throwing up a quick prayer when you're heading out the door somehow doesn't count because you're yeah. not on your knees and it's quick.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so this point is going after the latter piece that right. you're saying where we overstate this. But this conversation is helpful because I think when I was thinking of the category of like Bible reading, and we would both say like, you know, the different forms of reading are all helpful. Like
yeah.
We wouldn't even want to overemphasize one or the other. Like both are good. Like whether somebody has like 5 minutes and they're going to quickly spend 5 minutes between meetings or something, or reading one quick passage
verse
of scripture,
and just meditating,
like
yeah.
we would say, that's fantastic. Like, yeah. and it's going to be a little bit different than spending a half an hour and slowly meditating on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be different than spending a half hour doing large chunk reading,
just quickly moving. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Quickly,
so, but all of them are good.
Yeah.
And so I think this is helpful to think about for me.
Because it is, yeah. we want to prioritize prayer, and we would want our disciplines to show a prioritization
yeah.
of prayer,
yes.
but without demeaning that prayer isn't this like over spiritualizing it, where
yeah.
it has to be done in a certain way. We're creating. I think of maybe I just think of the Matthew 6 passage where Jesus says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they mm-hmm. may be seen by others." Now, here, there's definitely a sense of like being seen by others. "But truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you go pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, for your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray," here's another idea, "don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." And then he says, pray like this, very simply.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, especially the one there, "don't be like the Gentiles," where it's just like heaping up empty phrases.
Yeah.
It shows that
yeah.
they're, it's not some like, we're not performing some seance in order to try to get God to hear us, you mm-hmm. know, through our prayers. Mm-hmm. We have to do all this sort of work in order to get his attention.
Yeah.
He hears us. We can pray simply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think, I'm just trying to think through that, even that concept off the top of my head here, but like I would guess there's probably a way that we can bring that, where we're kind of bringing empty phrases. They're real phrases, but there's real no like feeling or thought behind them. So true theological thing. I'm thinking here about how some people react one to say like liturgy type stuff,
mm-hmm.
where that there's probably a rightness in that. That can become empty and you're doing it and viewing it legalistically. And nonetheless, it can actually be really helpful for our hearts that even though we're not feeling some depth of this, but it's like, no, like this is a good reminder for me. I believe it. This is true.
Yeah.
And it's not empty.
Yeah. Like you're saying, like if someone was to use this passage to say like, we shouldn't like pray like written prayers or like in
right.
a church setting, like kind
yeah.
of like we say the Lord's Prayer every 3 weeks approximately.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, should we not do that because right. it's just like empty words?
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a way you could treat it like empty words,
yeah.
but not inherently so. Like C.S. Lewis talks about
yeah.
the value of liturgies, where like sometimes people will think, well, if we do something that's repeated, then don't we just kind of go through the motions?
Mm-hmm.
And he would say like, the fact that you are repeating it actually allows you to do it better.
Right.
You can
right.
do it. You don't have to focus on like exactly, you know, like what are these words I'm trying to read or what are these words? Like you can actually
right.
focus on, you're actually able to better focus on what you're praying
yeah. Yeah,
because
good.
It comes more naturally to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah. I like it's, that. I mean, it'd be kind of like with you play softball, you
mm-hmm.
know, you practice enough swings that
right.
when you're at bat, you're not having to think about all
yeah.
those mechanics.
Yeah.
That's those who would practice more of a liturgy would view it that way. Like,
yeah.
obviously, you don't go up there and just swing recklessly, but
mm-hmm.
the fact that it's repeated helps you to do it better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so.
Good. Yeah. All right. Next reason I have is that we do not put enough emphasis on it in meetings and accountability type things. So, for example, if you were having accountability with someone, like an accountability group, one question would be common to ask people, how are you doing in your Bible reading?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we, especially in our group, theological circle, we put a high value on scripture and reading scripture. I'm not sure if I've had a group where that, like,
it was asking, like, how are you praying?
How's your prayer life? How are you communing with God through prayer?
Yeah.
Has been an emphasis. I'm not saying it hasn't been, but I can see that that's just not as high of an emphasis. Or say, if we just looked at the kind of church gatherings of how many, the ratio of gatherings that are focused on like scripture reading, like we're here to study the Bible, mm-hmm. or talk about the Bible, or themes from the Bible, versus we're gathered here to pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
So or it's just like, not emphasized as much.
Yeah. Cause like I would say, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on hearing scripture exposited or studying scripture, or like fellowship, like mm-hmm. small group times mm-hmm. and things like that. But even just does prayer kind of just get thrown in as the natural way to open and close a meeting?
Yes.
You know, it's just kind of this formulaic thing versus actually devoting significant amount of our time in meetings. Like even like an elder meeting, like what would it communicate if we spent, you know, say our elder meeting is 3 hours or something, and mm-hmm. we spend mm-hmm. 2 hours and 15 minutes of it discussing issues, working through things, and we just kind of cram in 10 minutes right. because we know we should of prayer.
Right, right.
Versus if we really, again, not to make the time thing like that mm-hmm. makes it mm-hmm. like real prayer, but how much of it reflects your heart and your prioritization?
Yeah.
If it's just kind of getting the scraps, mm-hmm. you might say.
Yeah, so if that's just happening all over, it just subtly becomes like a something that you don't think about, you don't focus on, so it just becomes harder to mm-hmm. devote yourself to prayer,
yeah,
in that sense.
And it feels a little bit less natural for us to say, as we do in our philosophy of ministry and our purpose and pursuits, what we want to be true of us, our conviction that prayer is our lifeblood,
mm-hmm.
it's the air we breathe.
Yeah,
that should obviously show up in habits,
yeah,
in instincts, you might yeah. say.
And so one of the ways that we've even tried to, like, we recognize as a current congregation, I mean, like you said at the last episode, like, we're going through this prayer series because we recognize this is an area of weakness in our church, in ourselves included, that we, so there was a time where we were having prayer meetings, I think there were Sunday night, I think every other month or something like that.
Yeah.
And, those were not well attended.
Yeah.
You could exchange that with, like, a meal, the same night, same weather, same time frame.
A bunch more people would show up.
And a lot
up,
more right? people are there. It's just yeah. it just demonstrates a little bit of the priority that we place. And that doesn't mean it's always evil or something like that. It's not what we're saying. But we're just recognizing, like, how can we make sure that we're emphasizing enough? So we tried to insert it at other places as well to try to yeah. make sure that we are doing it. So, like, we moved morning prayer before the service we used to have. And that was
like, is its very, own separate yes. thing, and hardly anyone came to it.
Yeah. So then we moved that into like text group, where we know there usually are some people studying the Bible.
Yeah.
We said, well, let's just put it in there as an outflow of studying the Bible, which seems to obviously make sense, right?
Yeah.
That we pray in response to that and prepare ourselves for the service and pray for the service
yeah.
coming up, as well as a congregational prayer that we put into sort of our
that was
liturgy.
Like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Like just to say, like, this matters to us. We care about this. And so every service is around, what, four to five minutes of someone praying through a set list that we have. We cycle through different topics of making sure that we're praying for these things.
Yeah. Or even in our family gatherings. I remember the discussion essentially being like, because we used to have actual dedicated family
yeah.
or dedicated prayer meetings, like you
yeah.
said, but to say, maybe we interweave these into just our regular rhythms
yeah.
or even with small groups, trying to say, like, make sure every group telling the leaders, like,
right,
you
right.
should make prayer like a primary focus
yeah.
so that it's not just kind of getting the scraps,
yeah.
but spend a significant amount of your small groups in prayer together.
Yeah. And I take a lot of responsibility on this. Like, so I'm also pastor here,
yeah.
a small group leader. I still don't put enough emphasis on prayer. Like, it's not somewhere my mind goes so much.
Yeah.
I put a lot of focus on trying to get the text right. And so we're having our discussions about that. And before long, it's like, oh, we're already 5 minutes past.
Right.
We got a rule. Somebody pray real quick.
Yeah.
You know, now I do have the belief that as we're reading scripture, as we're understanding, like with our, in other episodes, we've talked about placing our heart under God as we open up the scriptures. Like, that is communion with God. And I do view that as like, no, I'm talking to the Lord in response, and I'm interacting with him on this. But it's still nonetheless different from a lot of the ways we think about prayer, but so it's not totally divided. But
one of the things that I've tried to do because of, I know my bent too, is that you get talking about something in my small group, that is, you get talking about something, all of a sudden, like, where'd the time go? So one of the things that I've done is just like, let's make sure we bump prayer to like the very beginning.
Yeah,
so we know that. Like, we can just, whatever time is left, we'll use for these other things, but we want the things that you want the most. It's kind of like that illustration when someone tries to fill a jar with all these different rocks.
Yeah,
and if you start with, what is it? If you start with all the big ones first, or you gotta put the ones in first that you prioritize. You start with the big ones
and then the small ones can kind of work their way through.
Fill in, all the gaps. So that's kind of how I view, like, I want prayer to be a primary focus of the small group. So I'm going to make sure that gets at the beginning so we don't run out of time for that. Or even when you're studying the Word.
That's a good point. You've probably said that before. I should do that.
So the other thing you could do is, even when you're studying the Word in your small group, it's like, what if you just like break out into moments where like you guys as a group reflect on something, and it would be a natural like response of praise to God. And you just say, hey, can we have someone like just pray that back to God?
Yeah.
Like, that might be a natural way to kind of intertwine God's communication to us through His Word and our communication back to Him through prayer.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that.
So,
all right. Another hindrance to prayer is that we do not see it modeled before us often. So I think this is just, let me try to put a little bit of words on this. So it comes from the concept, right? Like, a lot of things that we learn are more caught than taught, necessarily. Mm-hmm. So there is a sense of like needing to have it modeled for us, like prayer. What does a prayer life look like? How do you talk to God? And that can just be a really good thing. I do remember inviting a couple over once. That was our topic. Like, we wanted to hear, what does your prayer life look like? We think you guys are strong at this. Help us, you know?
Yeah.
My wife, she's better at it than I am. I should do more of that. Just help me understand. Give me a model for this. But I don't know why that is. Why we don't see it modeled. I can think of people in the congregation that are, I would say, like, I think they pray, much more consistently.
But it might be more their private prayer and not actually having time praying with them.
Yeah,
I would say though, like, just to validate the idea that this is often something that's more caught than taught.
Yeah.
I notice this is kind of scary, but I've noticed that since my time at being at Crossway, because I will be one of those who will lead in more public prayers.
Yeah.
I start to notice my own lingo and like my own way of saying things showing up in other people's prayers. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, that sounds like, I wouldn't normally hear someone say that. That definitely sounds like a me thing that now I'm seeing in other people. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show that, like, this is not something to take flippantly, is like how we lead other people in prayer.
Yeah.
Cause like, that's not that, by no means am I saying that to like boast in myself, cause I could be passing on bad traits,
right.
But it's just to show that traits are passed on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, maybe it might be for those people who are really strong in prayer. It's just like finding time to pray with them. So maybe like, I was thinking about this too, like, just trying to grab coffee with people regularly, just as finding a way to connect. What would it look like if, in those times, or instead of just saying, hey, what have you been reading your Bible, or talking about various subject matters, we say, what if we dedicate half, we just get together and just pray, or we dedicate half our time to praying together. And there may be some of those people who are particularly strong at praying, where you can catch some of their strength the fact that, like, it may just be that we're not having enough time praying with them.
Yeah. And so it might be then, for those of us who aren't as strong in this category, seeking those people out that we think have more laps around the track than us, and seeking their help in this setting. And as well as those people who are strong in this, like, for them to be bold and say,
to reach out to others.
Yeah, I'm gonna help some people in this category.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if that is you and you're listening, like, you have something to offer the church, and that someone that's strong in prayer is a great blessing to the church and can really serve us and help us grow as well.
God has gifted the church in different ways, and all of us have different strengths that are meant to be used to help other people.
Yeah. Another one, I fail to realize that every day is war in the Christian life. And so this, I think, is just the needing to wake up in the morning and realize who I am and have the right expectations for what life is going to be like today. I don't know why I've said this in a similar way about like Bible reading. I feel like I get that. I'm like, I get it. I know I'm not always going to want to read the Bible.
Yeah. But I need to do it.
But I need to. Yeah. Because there's goodness for me here. But it's like, I know that I'm not going to want to. I know my flesh is going to want to fight against me. And for whatever reason, that doesn't translate in the category of prayer so much. But just to recognize, you know what? I'm going to wake up and my flesh is going to war against the spirit. According to Galatians, what is it, Galatians 5?
Galatians 5, yeah.
Or 1 Peter 2, the lust which wages war against the
soul.
Against your soul. Even some of that, sometimes expectations is half the battle, right?
It's just going in knowing that it's going to be a battle to pray.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The other way I thought you were going to say it at first, too, is that the fact that we need to pray because we're in a battle.
Well, that
like,
too, yeah.
Even that, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. The fact that as Christians, like, it's too easy for us to kind of just enter this life thinking that, you know, Christianity is just kind of this thing that sits in the background of our life. We go to work, we do our thing, and yeah, we're Christians at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Versus seeing that ultimately we're in a battle, like
yeah.
Paul closes his book to the Ephesians talking about needing to put on the armor of God because we're in a spiritual battle, not fighting against flesh and blood, but against all these kind of spiritual powers and forces. And so just knowing we need prayer as one of those weapons, one of those pieces of armor that we put on. But then even in the act of prayer, like you're saying, that itself is a battle.
Yeah.
And just knowing that it's not necessarily going to be easy. Because I guess what you're saying is like if we go in thinking it's going to be easy, we can get discouraged quite quickly.
Yeah, we think something's wrong with us.
Yeah.
And like, well, maybe I just can't do it. And,
yeah.
But I think your point's really good. That really works. Another one would be that we don't pursue things that will stir up prayer enough. So, for example, I do think we're like, in theory at least, like reading our Bibles, like reading the scriptures should be one of the things that actually stirs up prayer, right? Pursuing.
Especially like the Psalms.
Yes.
The other parts of scripture too, just like learning about who he is causes you to want to respond to him.
Or meditating on scriptures, like scripture memory. I actually feel like my prayer life is probably the times when my prayer life is the strongest is one, either when really difficult things are going on. Because I feel desperate.
Yeah.
Like I need God to intercede.
It just becomes more of a reflex.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or I'm in a season where just meditating on scripture is just something I'm just practicing a lot more consistent. I think scripture memory, I think for me that can drive me more towards prayer. Because I'm then praying the reality of the passage back to the Lord.
And, yeah, I think that's right. Because times where maybe I'm in a more of a season where I'm reading quickly through scripture and less meditating on it, but just kind of covering more ground.
Yeah.
Versus times where I'm really like dwelling on something and it's kind of saturating my thoughts. It does feel more natural to just like kind of bring those thoughts as you're reflecting on that to God. Mm-hmm. I do think that's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's almost like another helpful byproduct of, say, scripture memorization.
Yeah.
Like if we're doing it with in a posture like that. Or say even like pursuing difficult things like we were saying earlier, we want to avoid difficult things. Not that we pursue difficult things so that we'll pray better, but just realizing like, no, I'm a follower of Jesus. I see a need here. I see something hard here. And the right thing to do is to not look away, but to actually pursue it and see if I can be a servant here and serve for the glory of Christ and for the good of other people. And we dive in and that will probably drive us to pray when we feel like we're in over our head. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just like pursuing things that will also then have the byproduct of also stirring up prayer. One that is worth saying, I don't think any of us want to say this out loud, but if you feel it, it's worth at saying it and then talking about it. But I find it boring. I'm going to sit there and talk. Nobody's going to talk back to me.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound like very exciting. And so just like even being the ability to just kind of say that, be honest about that, and then try to work that through mentally. Realize like, yeah, like you're right. It's not like on the practice of its own, that's not like exciting.
Like the act itself, apart from like what it actually means.
Yes.
Just the idea of rehearsing different requests or different attributes of God. Like assuming there was no reality behind it.
Yes. Yes.
That would seem like a very boring and silly thing to do.
Because I think talking about it helps you to realize like how much I actually doubt prayer is actually doing anything.
Yeah. Because we think it's boring because we slip in. I think it kind of fits into the one about it doesn't feel productive.
Yes.
Like it's like, okay, I know, like if I'm praying for other people, it's like, okay, I know they need prayer for these things. They've told me their prayer requests. I said I'd pray. Like, why do I need to recite them? Like, almost it just feels like, what's the point of doing this? Mm-hmm. Versus if we, part of this is actually, it's just indicative of the fact that we don't actually believe prayer does things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I think getting to that root then, because then we can repent and confess that to the Lord and say like, oh man, I'm listening to these lies here. And Lord, I have not trusted that you actually hear my prayers, that actually matters. And so then we can preach the truth back to ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
The one you also have written down here, and we'd rather be distracted by something else.
Yes,
I think that's also, you kind of mentioned this, like we're not able to be silent. That was a previous one from the sermon. But I think that's part of it too, is like we also feel it's boring. Maybe not just because, or not necessarily because we don't believe in the power of prayer, but because there's like so many things that will compete for our interest.
Yeah.
Like we always have our phones on us. They always have some new notification that seems interesting.
Yeah.
We can always access, you know, some new funny video. There's just so many things around us that are that are bombarding us. Like our economy runs on advertisements that are competing for our attention. Like this is just so much the way our culture is, our society is, probably in ways that wasn't before, before like the proliferation of the advertisement industry like we have today.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that really affects our humanity, how we experience life
in
ways that we probably aren't even aware of. And so I think that's a great battle that we should find. Yeah. Even the one before this, pursuing ways that can stir up prayer, is probably trying to be people who are more disciplined about our social media use and use of entertainment. Like those are, it might seem silly, but I think those really do affect our ability
I totally agree.
To meditate and things like that.
It's sort of, I don't understand myself in this category where like, say like, the day's been exhausting mentally or whatever. And so now the day is nearing the end or whatever. And I'm kind of, I'm just tired emotionally, mentally. And so I don't want to like now sit and pray. I'd rather just veg out and look at softball bats or like you said, watch some funny clip.
Yeah.
But that's not actually filling me up, and I'm not actually being that entertained. It's not like clean entertainment. I mean, it's clean in terms of morally clean.
Yeah,
but like,
it's not edifying.
Yeah, I don't like walk away being like, oh man, I feel refreshed.
That really
and clean.
Helped
I just
me
feel more
feeling,
like bogged down actually.
Yeah.
And so what I think is gonna like kind of give some a sense of relief or recharge actually makes it worse almost. And so like, but I want to be one that even if it's like. This, again, I think shows, like, my misunderstanding of prayer sometimes where it's like, well, is it okay in those moments to just sit and be quiet and just, like, say a couple thoughts back to the Lord? Like, but I don't have to have this, like long, like, vigorous prayer time to make it real prayer.
You don't have to pretend you're not tired either. Like, pray as someone who's tired.
So I just feel like there's some of these, like, what do you call it when it's just built in these views that I have.
Subtle misconceptions.
Yeah.
I know you're looking for a word. I can't get it.
Yeah.
Either. Yeah. Expectations.
Yeah. That are there that I haven't really like worked out, but then that's where I feel like writing this list out and then trying to answer some of these like, oh man, I guess, that's deeper than I thought in me, you know?
And again, the point of this isn't to just go through, oh, this is all the ways that prayer is hard, but it's to do some self-analysis.
Yeah.
So to be more, have a greater intelligence about our own struggles so that we can fight those hurdles.
Yeah.
There was one that you passed over.
I intentionally passed.
I wanted to. Did you want to raise that one?
Okay. No, I intentionally passed it to kind of end with it.
Okay. Good.
Sorry. Yeah.
Because I was like, that's a good one.
As long as the one, it's as long as I did two. But where is it?
It's
basically
the,
that I don't feel like I can.
Yeah. I don't feel like I can. You have it listed as number 17 in your list, but I don't feel like I can because I don't deserve to be able to talk to God through prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, so we think our performance has kept us away from God. We don't have the right. And I mean, I think most of us, if we're honest, that is what we've felt. And I think we just need to be honest before the Lord and then preach the gospel to ourselves, because it's true. We don't deserve to have the ear of God.
Yeah.
Like, who of us of all people, there's no human that deserves God to listen to them.
Yeah.
Like, what makes us think so?
And what's interesting about this is that it almost can have two different directions. One that's the opposite of this.
Yeah.
Both deny the gospel.
Yeah.
The one is that someone doesn't even think, oh, I don't deserve to talk to God. Like, they're like, of course I can talk to God.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's like they have a low view of his holiness.
Right.
So there's no sense of, like, who am I to approach God? But that denies the aspect of the gospel which says that we're in need of salvation, yeah. that we are desperately wicked,
mm-hmm.
and God is incredibly holy. Mm-hmm. It's going to take an act of God to save us from God.
Yeah.
On the other side, which is how you've stated it, is more like someone who does sense the holiness of God, but they also sense their sin,
yeah.
but they haven't added the component of the atonement in right. there
yeah.
to remedy that fact right. that, yeah, we're not deserving, but God has made a way, and we that's are right. not just fictitious, we're not fictitiously righteous in his sight, but we are in reality righteous in his sight
yeah.
with every right on account of Christ to approach him in prayer.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, I've heard some people encourage, it's like starting out praying by just preaching the gospel essentially to your own heart. And I think it's not a rule that you have to do that, but I think that can help combat both sides of that, right? The person who thinks they have now, because they've had a good week, they now have a right to pray. Also, they need to be that, reminded of the gospel.
That too.
And
yeah.
that
yeah.
the person that has had a struggling week needs the gospel so that they know, no, they have an ear, not because of them, but because of Christ who died in our place.
Yeah.
And what a great privilege then that we can hear that, like, no, the eternal God, the one who is all wise, who's all powerful, actually leans his ears towards us when we talk to him.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
I was thinking about that passage in 1 John 5 where it says, just the words at the end, he hears us.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like, we might take that for granted.
So but that's he starts out that he says, this is our confidence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He says, this is our confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. I mean, just those words, though, he hears us.
Yeah,
like, don't take that for granted. That's crazy.
Yeah,
he, like, God, the God of the universe, who can answer our prayers, who causes things to come into existence by merely speaking, by merely willing their existence. He hears our prayers and can answer them. I was thinking it might be interesting to just kind of, I thought, I was just curious, like, out of all these hindrances, are there any that you would say rise to the top as, like, your own particular difficulties? Like, I can answer that question too, but.
I think I put some of my stronger ones, like, that I feel the strongest on, in the sermon the other day, or yesterday. Is today Monday? Whatever.
Yeah, yesterday.
Or a couple sermons ago, whatever, because I don't know when this is airing. But I probably, you know, that idea of, like, wanting the productive piece, because I that would be one, and then the tangibleness piece, I thought that was helpful for me to work through, that I'm not expecting tangible things in other spheres of life, but, like, because I don't feel it or something like that, or I can't see it.
I would say for me, it oftentimes it's like the busyness of, like, just there's so many things going on, it can be easy to like just not get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is assuming that it's not something that's worthwhile. It's not productive. Or the other one I would say is, like, the inherent humbling nature of prayer, I think, bristles against my pride, where I want to feel like I don't think this overtly. I've realized over the years that, like, why is it uncomfortable sometimes to pray for me? And I think part of that is my own pride, like, because it automatically admits that I'm in need. So one of the things that I was thinking about as we've gone through the prayer series is, like, ways I can try to better implement prayer. So, like, one idea I've shared, but I've in my own sermons, was, like, praying through the directory or praying through the church covenant. Anyways, one of the ideas,
like, having some sort of a plan.
Yeah, having a plan. One of the things I found is, like, when I have I'm a person where I have a plan like that, I do a lot better. And so I have, like, certain disciplines that I have, certain plans for other disciplines where I'm really consistent about following them.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I've thought about is, like, what if I can replicate the same sort of thing, but for prayer. So, like, I have a set of note cards, for example, that I cycle through every day that have, like, different quotes on them and Bible passages that are kind of related to pastoral ministry that I constantly want to be, like, reminding myself with. And I've had the plan of, like, you know, praying through our church's philosophy of ministry, praying for different aspects of our church's health, in other words, mm-hmm. as well as our church covenant, as well as a directory. And I'm pretty consistent about praying through the directory, mm-hmm. but like trying to pray for more broader things related to the church. I thought, well, if I'm good at going through that cycle of note cards, why not make a cycle of prayer requests in those note yeah. cards? Like, just, I wonder, in other words, that's something that I've thought of.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's someone out who's listening here who maybe it's like, if there is an area of life where you have been pretty successful at keeping up a discipline, what about replicating almost like the same format, but just for prayer?
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be a helpful way yeah. to kind
there's,
of jumpstart.
There's some pretty, some sophisticated systems out there.
Yeah. I know Paul Miller has like a really sophisticated, in his, the Praying yeah. Life book, he has yeah. a note card system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think just finding something that works for you. Has there yeah. been anything like that for you that stuck out about like maybe something you want to try implementing as a discipline?
Like in terms of like a plan?
Yeah.
I think right now I'm just realizing like that's what I need to develop more of a plan. That's historically that's been one time where I've done better when I had a plan.
Yeah.
So I need to do that. More of a formal plan, but also then like an informal plan. Like I shared in the sermon, like in terms of just certain things that I do every day and just saying like, you know, when I do that, let that be a prompt for me to pray.
Yeah.
So right now the one I was trying to do, I have not been – that I've done a little bit each day, but I'm not super, it's not ingrained in me yet, but like anytime I fill like a cup, my cup for more water or coffee, I drink a lot of water throughout the day
yeah.
or try to, like, why not that have be, it's, you know, as I'm get up from my chair to go get water.
Just make it a habit.
Yeah. yeah. And just, you know, I can, you, in that time you can pray for a couple people.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think that's called like stacking habits.
Yeah. Habit stacking. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you stack it with something you normally do.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, cool.
So you can ask me about that one at some point, see how I'm doing.
Well, we'll go ahead and close out there. Maybe if you're listening to this, if you're part of Crossway and you have something that you've kind of thought about doing, I guess, yeah, Dan and I would love to hear mm-hmm. your thoughts about maybe habits you've had or ideas that you've had
yeah.
kind of work together as a church as we continue to try to improve in praying.